I've been happy. I'd song when I've had fears, and some folks have even questioned if it's all been just a show. But the reason I keep singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. Their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Then I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm proud that I can tell you He's always given victory. I sing because there I sing because His grace is so real to me. I sing because I am not alone. I sing because someday we're going home where we're gonna sing through all eternity.
Yeah. shake my hands with the elders, tell my kindred good morning, sit down beside my Jesus, sit down and rest a little while. Kindred and friends now wait for me, soon their faces I shall see,
we'll soon be done
with troubles and trials.
Trials and
yes, and that all on the other side.
old rugged cross. I believe that this life, with its great mysteries, surely someday will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. Listen. Believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power, listen, to change lives today. For he changed me completely. Why, by the cross, I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost.
That's so powerful. You know what makes it? You know what makes a difference? Let me tell you real quick what makes a difference. Turn your Bible to the book of John, the 19th chapter. I'll tell you what makes a difference. I've heard some of the movie stars. I don't call them. Let's say country music stars. All right. You ever heard them sing? Boy, some of them can rear back and let her sing, and they can sing "Your Cheating Heart" and I don't know their song, so I can't. Anyhow, whatever they sing is popular, all right? And whenever they sing it, it might be the worst song in the world, you know? But you ever heard one of them same country stars? They'll sing in them honky-tonks on Saturday night, and they'll go and they'll sing them gospel songs. And you know whenever they sing them gospel songs, you know how it sounds? Terrible. You know, and they can sing that exact song, Brother Danger's song. Same exact song. It'll sound terrible. Why? There's a difference. The difference is in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And if the Spirit of God's not in something, oh my goodness, it's just a song. And a song anybody can sing, and anybody can put it on the show and think, well, I get millions of dollars to do all that stuff. I'm telling you what, you get to let the Spirit of God move, and it'll take care of all those other things. The book of John, chapter number 19, very familiar reading. We'll begin reading verses number 19. Verse 19 of the 19th? It's a 20th chapter. If I look on the top of my Bible, there it is. The 20th chapter, one page over, messed you up. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands, the prints of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray you'll have your way. Lord, help the Holy Spirit to guide and direct hearts. God, we don't know the heart of man, but God, you do. And God, I pray if there be one lost that you'll speak to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture has so much to say in here. I'd like to be able to talk to you about Doubting Thomas, but really we've heard about Doubting Thomas. I'd like to be able to share with you a little bit of just a few brief things. When Jesus resurrected from the grave, he was seen. But when he was seen of others, a lot of times the scripture would say, well, he was seen of so many. We actually touched on it just a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Well, he was seen of so many. But unless you put a name to something, sometimes it's hard for us to understand. It's kind of like reading a parable. The difference between a parable and another saying, if the Lord puts a name in there, you know it's real, okay? It's a real person. It's a real thing. So the Lord wasn't able just to come back and resurrect from the dead and just be seen of folks. That wouldn't be good enough. That's not good enough. In other words, in my skeptical mind, I'd say, well, that's a good man. He was seen of folks. Well, you know, unless you see it with your own eyes, you're not going to believe it. See, that's what Thomas was about. But Jesus appeared into a room. Jesus appeared into a room. The disciples were in that room because of fear of the Jews. Just keep that in mind. They were afraid of what was going on. Their lives had been changed. Jesus had gone. But their last 2.5 to 3 years, 3.5 years, whatever, however long it was they spent with the Lord. Do you think, just for a moment, and boy, I hope you hang with me today. Think with me one moment. Do you folks think that they were saved disciples? Do you think? And now I know our terminology, we say we're saved. And we say we're ready to go to heaven. We say, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I'm just as sure as I'm there. If I'm there already, as soon as I die. When we like to say things like that. We take it from the scripture. We read from the scripture. But do you believe those folks, those disciples, were saved? I really do. I believe them folks was ready to go. I believe if they died that day, they'd been ready to go. I believe even though they had failures and sins and shortcomings and they'd done a lot of things wrong, I still believe that they were saved. In fact, Jesus said to Thomas, you're faithless. Whoa. What if I said to you, you're faithless? I believe I hurt your feelings. I really would. If you was to say, preacher, I tell you what, you're just faithless. Man, I believe you'd hurt my feelings. I believe it would get me. I think, well, don't I have more than that? Don't I have more religion than that? You see my word? You see, salvation is not based on religion. If I've got a barometer and I say, oh, I got a lot of religion. Oh, I got a lot of scriptures. I got a lot of things that I can do. Well, not, salvation is not based upon religion. Salvation is based upon my believing in God or my faith in God. You see now? See, in other words, Jesus had got Thomas's attention. If the Lord can't get your attention, maybe you're not listening, okay? And so at the beginning here, the disciples, not 11 of them, 10 of them, Judas done flew the coop, okay? He wasn't saved to begin with, and he done hung himself, all right? But now there's 10 of them. Thomas wasn't there. We know this story, so I'm quickly going through it. But while they were there, the Lord appeared. And when the Lord appeared, I bet you've never read this verse like you probably read these verses, but I don't really think you have read these verses. Because whenever I read these verses, you never said nothing. You sat there like a knot on a log, okay? So let me read to you something, and maybe you grab it this time through. But if you don't, okay, we'll read it another time. But look, the Bible said when Jesus stood there in the latter part of verse 19, he says, "Peace be unto you." These are the words of the Lord. Skip down to verse 21. "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." I bet we understood that. When the Lord comes into the room, they were already in trouble. And how many times have I explained that in the past? Friend, if you're afraid of somebody, you close the door and you sit there and you shake in your boots. But no. All of a sudden, doors being closed, there's 11 of, 10 of them in there. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears into the room. Well, if they wasn't shaking in their boots, it's time to shake in their boots now. How'd he get in? This is impossible. How in the world? All of a sudden we got somebody that is dead. No, he's not dead. He's alive, and bingo, he's right there in front of him. He appeared. Friend, he was just like the night of the troubled water. He told them disciples that y'all just be peaceful. Peace be still is what he said that night. And on this occasion, he said, peace. There's nothing like when the Lord can come into your heart and give you peace. If you're a sinner, if you're lost without God, if you know the condemnation of sin that's on your heart and your soul, friend of mine, when you come in front of a holy God, you'll shake in your boots. You will. You say, oh, I won't. No, you will. Friend of mine, when you come in front of a holy God, there's no other, even me, I'd shake in my boots right now today if I'd stand in front of God. I don't even want to go down to the courthouse. I don't know who's judging. But I don't want to be convicted of a crime and go down in front of a judge. And all a judge does is read from a law book, and he says, this right here, and oh, this is what I sentenced you. He didn't create that. No, it's a law. But whenever you stand in front of God, God said, here's the law. If you can't conquer that law, if you can't overcome that law, guess where you're going? You're going to hell. That's something. Well, let me get down to where we're really to get. Thomas wasn't there. And all of a sudden, the Lord appeared in that room, and he said, peace. Now, if that's all it was, that's great. But they were believers. They were believers. Now, what we don't grab is here's what the verse says in verse 22. When he said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Receive ye the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means that the disciples were believers, but they had never received the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what in the world that means. I ain't figured that out. I've scratched my head till I'm about bald-headed. I ain't figured out how in the world can you be saved without the Holy Ghost. I got news for you. Friend of mine, in our present day, in fact, not now today, we all talk this same talk, every one of us. Everybody that's been born again, they believe this one thing, and they say it this way. Friend, whenever you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. That's exactly right. I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to think another thing about it. But there's some folks out there in the world that says, oh, there's a second blessing come along. Oh, there's another way you can get saved. Friend, there's only one way of salvation. There's only one way to be saved. And friend of mine, in this particular day, when they believed Christ, in these 10 disciples that were present right there, on the day that Jesus called them, they believed in Jesus Christ. And their faith and trust in Him made them follow Him every day that He lived. Now, one thing they didn't have. You remember, the Old Testament is filled with scriptures that the Holy Spirit would move upon folks, but He wouldn't stay. It would seem like He would come, and go. And we can give you example after example. When the Spirit would move, when that Spirit would move, it would come in there. Prophets would prophesy. Men would do great things. And all of a sudden that Spirit would leave. But Jesus told his disciples on another occasion, did they grab it? No, they didn't understand it. But he said something like this, I must go. And if I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. Now, did they grab that? No. Do they understand? Friend, when God tells us something, sometimes we just don't listen. We just don't listen. We read that Bible, we know what it says, and we think we're smarter than God. We think we absorb it all. But right here on this occasion, those disciples received the Holy Spirit by Him breathing on them. Whoa. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to notice something in this Bible. And I want you to pay close attention because I want you to hear what happened and transpired. There's not anything that was recorded here. They talk about things, but friend Thomas wasn't there. So let me pick up reading again. After verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them that time. Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. I don't know how. How in the world did the circumstances present themselves identically? How in the world can you be given another chance almost identically? Think about this, my friend. If you're lost without God, think about this. Can God lead you in a direction maybe two times in a row? Now listen to me. If you're lost without God, coming to church is not one of your priorities. If you save, church ought to be a priority. But if you're lost, coming to church ain't a priority. A friend of mine coming to church two times in a row sure ain't a priority. Because friend, what's the reason to come to the house of God? If you're lost, you don't enjoy the singing. If you're lost, you don't enjoy the preaching. If you're lost, you don't enjoy these goody two-shoes people at church. If you're lost, you want the people of the world and you don't want the people of God. This room, even though it only had 10 folks in it, was all saved individuals that loved the Lord. Second meeting, you think you want to go back to a meeting filled with a whole bunch of church folks? I don't know. But God has a way of putting us together almost a week apart, 8 days. The door being shut. I don't know who closed that door that second time. But is it possible if the door is shut, the Lord to appear the second time? It sure is. In fact, in your heart, God is able to knock at your heart's door again and again and again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. We use that as an illustration of your heart's door. You can say no, you can say no, but friend, if you will yield to the Spirit of God and you will yield to His wooing power, you can let God in your heart. Second time, doors being shut. Thomas was there. Listen to what happened. Now, we already criticized him, so we're not going to criticize him this time. The doors being shut, Jesus, and I'm reading verse 26, the doors being shut, He stood in the midst, peace be unto you. Same thing, same words. Same thing. This time, Thomas goes strictly to Thomas. Tells him about reaching his hand in there. Can you reach your hand in there? Thrust it in my side. Be not faced. Believe. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. What a difference. Now, wait a minute. What a difference. What a difference in Thomas when he said, my Lord and my God. Now, friend, I want you to understand, whenever you are lost without God, all of a sudden, when you hear about Jesus, it can stir up something inside of you. Now, listen to me. If you're cast into hell, and you'd say, well, friend, I'll be in hell with all my buddies. We've heard that all of our life. But listen to me. If you're cast into hell, When you get to hell, you know you're going to deserve to be there. The rich man in hell did not say, get me out. The rich man in hell said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus back to warn my brothers not to come to this awful place of torment? He was trying to say, I deserve to be in hell. Did he want to be in hell? No, but he deserved to be in hell. He knew he belonged in hell. Hell is prepared for people that belong there. On the other hand, heaven. Name one person in this room that deserves to go to heaven. None. There's no claiming. There's no being. I can read my Bible until I turn blue in the face. And as soon as I end Revelation 22, friend, as soon as I finish reading, I can say, Lord, let me go to heaven. I'm ready. Friend, I'd get there to heaven and I wouldn't be worthy to walk on the streets of gold. Now listen. I'm going to a place that is going to be filled with folks that don't deserve to be there. Every one of us that's saved is going to heaven. We're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to be able to be clothed in robes of righteousness as white as snow. You know what? We deserve to be in hell, but because of Jesus Christ, we get to go to heaven. There's not a thing you've done that deserves you to get to go to heaven. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now you tell me, was the disciples any different from the first meeting to the second meeting? We don't hear. The only thing that they had to say was this little conversation they had back here whenever they said that. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. Now does that sound like they received the Holy Spirit? We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see the hands of the prints of the nails, I'm not going to believe. Only word that we're given from the disciples to Thomas was, we've seen the Lord. Wouldn't you think if you received the Holy Ghost, you ought to say, praise the Lord, we've seen the Lord? Oh, wouldn't you think there'd be a bunch of crazy folks jumping around and screaming and hollering? No. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. I can't help it sometimes if I get happy. I can't help it sometimes if I just enjoy doing what I do. I can't help that right there. But it's on the inside coming out. It's not me making a show for the world. We don't need to make a show. No. What we need... is to be able to say with something different. There's something a little bit deeper than just saying the words, I've seen the Lord. Now, I don't know. Brother Danny didn't know this whenever he picked out that song to sing and had it all prepared. But there was a couple of words that song contained that hit home. And what those couple of words were had nothing to do with the tone of his voice and how he sung it. It had everything to do with the meaning of the words. You see, if you long for something different, if you want something different, because if your life from here backwards, if it has contained trouble, heartache, misery, oh my goodness. Friend of mine, if it hadn't have been for God, you've got murder, you got theft, you got robbery, you got all kinds of stealing, all kinds of bad things, lies and more lies and more lies. You got deception. You got unfaithfulness. You can talk about all your sins all day long. But let me tell you something. I was in the same boat that you're in. God showed me exactly my boat, and my boat led straight to a deserved place to go, and that was hell. I deserved it. But listen, Listen, that little small little word was, I seen the Lord. That small. It wasn't in big, bold letters. It wasn't expounded. We seen the Lord. Remember how Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily. He was expounding the words. They didn't even repeat it. It was one time repeat. We seen the Lord. Now listen. When we went over the Holy Land and looked inside that tomb that day, he wasn't there. He was gone. We didn't get to see the Lord. Not with these eyeballs. Let me tell you what God had done to Thomas. Thomas hears those words. One of those disciples, pick one, said, we seen the Lord. Another one of the disciples said, we seen the Lord. Next thing you know, all 10 of them. Now, if he would have got one of them to say, did you really see the Lord? That would throw some doubt. But the doubt was only in Thomas. Everybody else had the same story. Everybody else saw the same thing. Now you tell me, what Baptist church can you go in and get the same story? Impossible. We're going to have fried chicken back there today. Lord willing, creek don't rise, we're going to have fried chicken back there. Now we might all have the same story because we all get to see with our same eyeballs this fried chicken. But I got news for you. Somebody else might go back there and eat a piece of ham and say, I didn't see no chicken. I only saw ham. You know, you see what it would do, the credibility of all the other folks that said, oh, there was chicken. When that day, when those folks gathered in that room and the Holy Spirit of God was breathed upon them by Almighty Jesus Christ, and when he breathed on them, they only had one message, and that one message was the one thing that they were going to proclaim. Nothing else was important. Why didn't say, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, we've seen the Lord, and oh, by the way, we got the Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Did you see that? I want you to know, friend of mine, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all three in one. When you say you've seen the Lord, you get the whole package deal. It ain't one of these things where you do what you want to. Friend, when you get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ or nothing at all. Nothing at all. And friend, when this took place on that day, and Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. The Lord did not have to come back to Thomas. Friend, the Lord didn't have to come for you neither. You ain't fit for the kingdom of heaven. I ain't. I don't add one stone to the building of the city. I don't send up one good work, build my mansion next door. I don't have that privilege, friend. I want you to know, on that time when Jesus appeared into that room on that day, and he said, Thomas, reach hither. He did that just specifically for Thomas. Now we call him Doubting Thomas, but I want you to know something. There are not many people in the Bible that have made such a bold statement as Thomas did. You haven't. I haven't. David, a man after God's own heart, didn't say it like that. John, forerunner of Jesus, said this immortal statement, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Boy, that's a good statement, isn't it? But Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Now, boy, howdy. You know where you stand when you say words like, my Lord and my God. You remember the rich man that came to Jesus that said, Master? Master? See, it's a difference when you call Jesus Master or Rabbi, good teacher. You see, it's a difference. It's a difference when you call a brother. Listen, I go up to Gordon, I say, Brother Gordon. I've heard Brother Gordon testify. He's heard me testify. Me and him, based upon our testimony, just on our testimony, because I can't see his salvation, he can't see mine, but based upon salvation, based upon a salvation experience, a testimony, we say this, and I have full confidence in calling him my brother. But if you ever catch me not saying brother or sister to you, it's because I'm uncertain. And I don't want you to feel like you're saved because you know the preacher. I want you to understand God's the one that you got to be concerned with, not the preacher. And when he said, my Lord and my God, I could shake hands with Thomas and say, my brother. Because I really felt he knew the Lord. He knew what it was to have a resurrected Lord. Friend of mine, when you know that right there, you don't have to join the church. You don't have to say, oh, let me do this or that and the other. You don't, friend of mine, whenever you know God, whenever you know Him, you know you've been born again. And if you've been born again, you're in heaven just as sure as you was already there. Why in the world do we not see what God does on the inside? God's doing something to you today. He's telling you something that you need to hear. Listen to what He's saying. My Lord and my God. Have you said that? You know, I don't make it a common practice of going around saying, my Lord, my God. But I have said, my Lord, many, 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 many times. I have called on God many, many, many times. And it's not a repetition that makes me saved. Because the only prayer that's important is the one that you pray, Lord, save me. Nothing else really counts. I could be praying for the United States of America. And boy, that would be patriotic. I could go grab that flag up there and say, let's pray for America. Boy, that'd be good, wouldn't it? And I could pray for America all the way into hell. But you know something? If you'll pray to our God for your salvation, not for mine, for yours, if you'll pray to God for your salvation, you can be saved. But there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother Gordon, the song. I don't know much about you today. I can tell you a lot of things that I do know, but I can tell you more about my salvation that I received. And by me receiving salvation, I have the capability of meaning this, my Lord and my God. Now anybody can say the words. Anybody can make an attempt to pray. Anybody can mumble. But friend, the true getting hold of God is asking God to save your soul. I don't care about other things. I care about salvation. If you've never been saved, tired of the way you're living, Christ can save your soul. May we stand to our feet and sing a verse of this song of God speaking to you. Let this be the day that you surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Come.